You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, geeksters, to issue 56 of Geek Watch 1. We're all hanging out, talking this week. Remember, guys, we're talking about the finales of all of our favorite TV shows that ended within the last 2 weeks. There's a bunch of them that happened, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about once we get to it. But first, Kylan, you guys had an adventure this weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We don't talk about it much, but Don and I are paranormal investigators. And, well, since starting Geek Watch 1, we haven't really had the time to devote to it like we used to. But we went on an investigation a couple of nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It was the Saddamville's Rectory.
It's down in, it's basically just outside of Cincinnati.
Okay.
So, it was a bit of a drive, but not too bad.
And interestingly enough, it's just about 15 miles from one of the most haunted locations in the United States, Bobby Mackey's. So,
cool.
We already investigated there.
Yeah, it was a trip down memory lane for us as well, too. So, but it was a good time.
Okay. Anything exciting happened that you want to talk about here, or...? Are you still trying to figure everything out and process what was going on?
Well, at this point, all we've gotten through is photos. Like, I usually just take photos of the locations. I never expect anything to show up in them anyway, because I'm the first one to try and debunk all those photos with pieces of dust in them that people want to claim are orbs of some type.
Yeah.
So I always just post photos of the location because I love the locations. We didn't have anything outright exciting happen while we were there. We did a session in the basement as a group, and a couple times I actually had a flashlight go on and off. Closest person was about 3 feet away from it, and we were, you know, asking questions and stuff, and determined it may have been a little kid who was there who was playing with the flashlight.
Yeah.
So there was that, but we haven't had time to go through any audio yet. We were there from right around 8 p.m., and we left at around 9 the next morning.
Okay. That's why you guys disappeared all day yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. We had to sleep when we got home. But we have multiple recordings during that entire time because we take two recorders.
Okay.
So we have a few hours to go through. And we all got a couple hours of sleep from about, 3 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
But we even kept the recorders going during that time. So we'll be listening to those, just hearing Kylan snoring or something. I don't know. but yeah, so we've got a lot of hours to go through on that. But it was a good time, though. It's a really interesting building.
Okay. Well, it seems like since we've been doing the show here, we've actually met a bunch of other people that actually do similar, that go out and do ghost hunting and stuff. At some point, we should probably do a show where we get a couple of people and you guys could all just swap stories back and forth and see how that goes.
We could bring plenty of people on.
Yeah,
actually,
not a problem.
I was surprised. I didn't realize we met Bart's mom yesterday at the Full Circle Storytelling, and she and Bart's dad actually have done a bunch of ghost hunting expeditions also.
Cool.
So that's something I didn't expect that, especially out of Bart's parents. And Bart will be the first one to tell you he's scared of all this stuff also.
He hates horror movies and stories, yeah.
It gives him nightmares and he can't handle all this, but his parents go ghost hunting. And they love the paranormal stuff.
And the ghosts, the movies and
like, none of it really scares us at all. Like, we've had a lot of stuff happen and none of it ever scares us or anything. It's more a fascination, so.
Yeah.
You think about somebody like, like Dan Aykroyd's parents, or at least his dad, was really...
His grandparents? His grandfather was a major person in the paranormal field. Like, there's books about his grandfather. That's what inspired Ghostbusters.
Right. Yeah.
So,
some people
you just don't think of it.
There are people who are into it that you don't realize, and like I'm really into history, and so along with the investigation side of it, I also get to feed my love of history, because a lot of these places have stories in and of themselves.
Oh yeah.
So it's there's on many levels it's satisfying. So.
Well, something we found interesting yesterday, because anybody locally who knows about the Civic Theater in Akron, Ohio, and just in general, the Ohio Erie Canal goes underneath it, and it's supposed to be one of the most haunted sites in Akron. But the building next door, the office building at the end of the row, that was the Civic's office building and actually shares the basement with the Civic, is actually being torn down right now. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is there a chance of doing some ghost hunting just rolling the canal underneath there and see if it's be a little more active than normal? Because of the building being disturbed.
Well, one of the issues is getting permission, because we never do any of these without permission.
Well, most of that there is a public park right now.
Well, yeah, as long as you're sure any of the places you go are public.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even when they're public parks, they sometimes have signage up that says, closes at dusk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But one of the issues that seems to come up around Akron and the Northeast Ohio area is you have to find out about haunted places by word of mouth, because they don't like advertising it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't like giving permission to do investigations. Like, the Civic is notoriously difficult to get actual approvals for investigating.
That's because the Civic is difficult with everything they do.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just Akron in general. Like, anything that's owned by the city or especially the university stuff, you can't get into any of it.
The university is probably going to change since Scarborough went bye-bye.
No, it has nothing to do with him.
Oh, no, okay. It's been like that.
It's been like that for years.
Howard House
is haunted, and you can only get in there on like the general tours or like the haunted Halloween tours or whatever.
Yeah, they for years.
Yeah.
Decades even. People who've been doing this before we got into it have never...
It's just difficult to around here. Difficult. I don't know why they won't promote it around here, because they can make some money. I mean, these places make change off it. It's not like they do it for free. You can't.
Right.
You have to actually have to pay fees for these places, and they could make some money off it, but they don't want to do it.
I mean, the Agora, up until last year or early this year, I don't know, the Agora Theater up in Cleveland, when it wasn't running shows, would open itself up for investigations, and
it
fully embraced the history. I mean, it ended up on a couple of paranormal mm-hmm. shows.
Okay.
We were there 3 or 4 times we investigated there.
So,
well, that's an awesome theater ownership in general.
Yeah.
And if you're just going to look around at it.
Mm-hmm. It was real. That's one of the reasons we like doing this, because we get to go behind the scenes on so much stuff. We've done a lot of public places that we get to go backstage or whatever, that a lot of people don't get to see it. So just even seeing that kind of thing is cool.
Yeah. One other thing, have you guys ever been down to like Rogues Hollow area outside of Doylestown? That's where the local Crybaby Bridge is and stuff like that. And I guess it was supposedly, the story I had heard was, this is it's a place in secluded Summit County that when like the thieves and robbers back in the 1800s would, that's where they would basically hide out in the woods.
Are you talking about the BS Helltown stories?
I don't know. This is no. That I think is up. That's up by Brandywine Falls. No, this is Rogues Hollow out right outside of Boylestown.
I thought Rogues Hollow was the area that's been rebuilt and developed now, that there's not actually much there.
I don't think so. No, this is outside of Doylestown. There's still nothing down that way at all.
Oh, okay.
Unless it's changed within the past couple years.
Yeah, there's. If you look up the Rogues Hollow Historical Society, there's a like a big building there that is all the history of the area and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how so many local areas have crybaby bridges. It's like Everyone local has to have their own crybaby bridge, and nothing ever actually happened there.
And it's the exact same story.
Oh, yeah, I swear, there was something.
It's the exact same story at every one of them.
Exactly.
You stop a certain time a night, and you hear baby cry.
Yeah.
Which to me says there's something in the woods, that an animal that actually sounds like...
There are animals that sound like that.
Yeah. Or that's the wind whistling just right.
Foxes are scary as hell when they start squealing.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm. So, But we're going to look forward to, once you guys get all the information and want to let us know what you found out about this. This is kind of cool.
Yep.
But yesterday, we actually had exciting. We had three different events that we went to with Vicky and me. And Bart and Andy was actually at the first one. We went out to that Cub Championships with Oddmall.
Yeah.
Now, Andy had, what, probably about 15, 20 booths out there of different vendors?
20, yeah.
And it was at this place called Byers Castle in Ravenna, which... It was basically a brick Victorian home that they called a castle for some reason.
Built in 1905.
Yeah, they built
huge.
It.
Huge.
Because they could call it a castle, that's why.
Pretty well.
It was what, four stories or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
It was a ginormous house, but the problem is we just went to a real castle 2 weeks ago.
True.
Right.
So it kind of took the luster away from this one a little bit. But it was a beautiful house, a beautiful grounds. Cub is an interesting game. We actually played through. We won one game, didn't we?
One out of seven, yeah.
Yeah, they did a seven round tournament, which do you guys know the way round robin works?
Yeah.
Playing.
And most people know, yeah, every time you play, you get a chance to win points. It's usually 2 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, or zero for a loss, and you play people at the similar point level to get to the finals. So that's the real quick overview for any geeksters that haven't heard of this. But Cub, it's kind of like horseshoes. The pitch isn't as long. It's only 8 meters across. And you get five wooden blocks on your line, five wooden blocks on the opposite side, and then a tall wooden post in the middle that's the king. The whole goal of it is you have to knock down the blocks on your opponent's side, all five blocks, and then knock down the king.
With sticks.
With these, what are they, about 1-inch dowels? Or 2-inch dowels?
Probably about 2-inch, yeah.
A 2-inch dowel by about 2 foot long. And you get six of them to throw in a round. And what it is, when you knock down one of the cubs, on the little blocks are called cubs. You knock down the cub on your opponent's side, they have to toss the cub back onto your side of the pitch. Then they have to, that becomes what's called a field cub. They have to knock down all of the field cubs before they can start knocking down the ones on the back line. And then it just keeps going back and forth, tossing the ones that get knocked down until you're able to knock all the ones off your opponent's back line. As soon as someone knocks all the cubs down on their side and on the back line, they can knock down the king and win the game.
Oh, okay.
So Andy actually was bought a set, so we're going to play it probably at Oddmall in July, and Andy will have it set up in his yard probably, because it doesn't take a whole lot of space.
Okay.
So it's a fun game to play. Heather was able to actually even play it, because a lot of times Heather can't play a lot of sports.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
But Heather was able to play it because it wasn't really impactful on the joints or anything. And it was super light because, like I said, it's a 2 foot, like 2 inch dowel. So it's only a stick that you're throwing back and forth. But we had a blast. There was...
I tried to kill Mike McFarlane. He wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. We played... Mike McFarlane was actually there playing on one of the teams. And he played during the lunch break. He actually performed for everybody. We saw Marcus Calvert was out there with all the Oddmall crew. There was a lot of people you'd know for Oddmall. Yeah, Andreas from Silver Fox.
Of course Marcus was there. Marcus is always there.
And he is loving those audiobooks, by the way.
Good.
So anybody who wants to check that out, go to talesunlimited.com, and Marcus has a bunch of new stuff. He's actually got coffee cups now, like travel mugs with his artwork on it.
Yeah, those are cool.
We have his travel mug because we got that whole pack o' everything the one time.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We have a wallet, we have a coaster, we have everything.
Hey, he does very well. He knows how to market himself.
Exactly.
He'll put his book art on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him another character idea.
Yeah, Vicky came up with another. you guys have sat down with Marcus and had him just come up, roll random characters with you, right?
Yeah.
Well, Vicky gave him an idea for another side character or something to put in one of his stories. Go ahead, babe. Tell him what it was.
Wait, hold on. I got to clean this up. Chihuahua by day, which is the hero, and the a-hole cat by night, which is the villain. And the poor Chihuahua has to clean up after the cat.
Like a Jekyll and Hyde, but it's a Chihuahua and a cat.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So
it's like my alien genius demon dragon.
Yeah. She came up with that one when I was sitting in a meeting with Marcus.
Bunny Rabbit.
She comes up with some interesting, like, Wuzzle characters.
But then I Google them and find them, pictures of them.
Yeah, someone else has come up with this, too, for some reason. Everybody comes... There's some strange minds out there. Mm-hmm. But that was the Cub tournament. It lasted, what, till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon until we were finally out. We won one game out of the 7 rounds. So we weren't fantastic, but there was, what, 14 teams there?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them come as far as... and I didn't really, there's actually clubs that play this all over the country, I guess, because we had the Motor City Cub was out. There was another team that came from Worcester. So we had Detroit, Worcester, all over the Northeast Ohio area. It was a fun time. So there wasn't a whole lot of spectators. So
we were playing in the rain.
And we were playing in the rain off and on. And there wasn't
much
signage.
I think
that
was one of the reasons they got Andy to help them set up the vendors to try and get more people there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully for next year, at least they're going to have...
The busiest.
Oh, yeah. For lunch, they had the Stray Dog hot dog cart was out there. Have you guys ever had Stray Dog?
No.
Oh, if you guys, he's got a cart that's all over the city.
Meatballs.
But he brought Swedish meatballs, some kind of Swedish. I forget. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's some Swedish street food. It was basically a wrap. It was like a hot dog with mashed potatoes, shrimp salad, and something else
lettuce
on it.
Lettuce and relish.
That sounds horrible.
Well,
sold out.
They sold out real quick on that. Yeah. Everybody wanted to try it. So I had just the regular. I had two hot dogs with. He makes his own mustard. So.
Yeah.
That's all I had. So it was a fun time. Next year when they do it, hopefully they're going to have, like I said, better signage. Because all they had was a little, almost like a yard sale size sign out by the road. And that was it.
And then, of course, they had the sign that says no trespassing. It's,
yeah.
It confused everybody.
Yeah, as you roll down the road.
Promote it.
Yep,
yeah.
As you roll down the road, there's big signs that they posted, no trespassing and all that stuff.
But so you want people to go that way.
Yeah. So a little bit more signage, I think it would do well. Because this is a game I think people would actually get into. Because it's a fun game.
It's a Viking game.
Yeah, this is the type of game I could see taking off. Like, what's that beach one where you throw it back and forth with the bolo balls on at the PVC pipe things? Remember a couple years ago, that got super hot?
Bocce ball?
No, it's kind of like that, but you throw it back and forth and you had to actually wrap the balls with the string around the PVC pipes when you throw them back and forth. I forget what they're called.
Like tetherball?
Kind of. You're throwing it back and forth, though. Most of the geeksters,
I have no idea.
A lot of geeksters are going to know what I'm talking about. But
the problem is these games last for a year or two and then disappear.
Exactly. This one's been around for a while, but this is one that at some point could catch and get super hot and then just die off. But that's just the way a lot of these summer type games like that are like.
Yep.
But after that, Vicky, why don't you tell them about the pet expo that we went to?
You take me to the pet expo because I wanted to pet all the dogs. I wanted to take a bunch of them home.
She didn't realize how many rescue groups there are in the area.
Oh yeah, there's a huge amount.
We went to the Hardesty Park Akron Pet Expo, where it was all the rescue groups and everybody else that had anything to do with animals.
Societies from Stark and Akron or Summit, just everywhere.
So that was fun, just seeing all the dogs. And they actually had a skunk rescue group out there.
Yeah, I know there's a couple of those in Ohio. So I tried to convince Kylan to let me get one at one point, and he won't let me get one.
I told Bart he needs to get one because I don't think he's going to be allergic.
What did you try to get a skunk?
Last year, I told you we should get one of the descented skunks that they've saved, and you said, no, I don't think so. We have dogs.
Well,
we do have dogs. That would just...
They get along!
We don't know that. I mean...
I'd rather get a ferret myself, but...
So this is like a cat ferret, so...
I had a dream.
Ferrets bite a lot, though. Skunks aren't known for biting much.
I had a dream. I had two ferrets.
No, this one just kept trying to go into the girl's shirt.
Yeah, he kept trying to burrow into the girl that was holding him shirt. But I guess they said the pet skunks come in a multitude of different colors. It's not just the black and white that you see in the wild.
Mm-hmm, they do.
So the one we saw was what, blonde?
It was white. Instead of the stripes being white, the body was white instead of black, and the stripes was like a cream color.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was kind of cute.
It was really pretty. He was soft.
It reminded me of what you would think of an albino skunk being.
Mm-hmm.
But she said they come in like lavender and a bunch of other like almost designer colors is what it sounded like.
But you know,
is what would remind you of like a designer color, like wine and stuff like that.
Animals like that get domesticated; they change colors.
Yeah,
And I think it was at Russia domesticated a bunch of foxes, and they changed colors. They went to black and or white with black spots after like two generations of being domesticated.
Oh, okay.
They're really cute.
Well, you'd think being domesticated, they don't need the camouflage and stuff anymore.
Exactly,
and they act like dogs.
So, that was fun. We had a good time. Kylan, I sent you a picture. I have an actual still picture of that same one video that I sent to Kylan that I'm going to have to send to you, Dawn, so you can put it up. We found the most awesome fountain that you could that I could think of for you guys. That we got to find to make this for you guys for your backyard. It was actually a pug sitting on the side of a fountain hiking his leg, and they had the water tube coming up underneath the pug, and so it looks like he's peeing into the fountain. So I'm going to have to send you the still picture so the geeksters out there can see it. Oh, that's cute. What is that?
That's a fox. It's a domesticated fox.
They have a domesticated fox that almost looks like a skunk pattern, color-wise.
Nice.
So, but that was the Pet Expo. There was geeksters, you heard that we wanted, that Kylan wants to get Dick Goddard on our show, or on our first convention. He was at the Pet Expo.
we'll be stalking him until we decide to do the convention.
He's only 140 years old. He'll hang on until we're ready.
It's the break he's been waiting for.
The one thing that'll make him famous world nationwide. Wait, isn't he pretty famous nationwide anyway as being one of the first broadcasters
worldwide,
ever?
Worldwide.
Okay. Because if I remember right, Channel 8, that's why they only have three letters. They're WJW because they were one of the first broadcast stations in the country. And he would think it was on the first broadcast. So
man is old, people. He's old.
Yep. And then after that, Bart has been telling us last couple weeks about that Wandering Aesthetics Full Circle Storytelling. Vicky and I went to that. That was amazing. And it was people telling true stories from their life. And there was nine people that told stories.
The 10th guy was sadly in the hospital.
Yeah, they had a 10th guy that wasn't able to make it because he's been sick. But and the stories were a gambit of stuff. You had stuff that was funny. You had stories that would make you cry. You had stories that make you say, huh? And it was stuff that they've done this basically as a series since September through now. About once a month they've been having these events, which is like an open mic for people to tell their stories. And they picked basically 10 stories that had been told through the whole year to polish up their stories and bring them to they treated this as their season finale.
Right.
So they were able to tell their 10 stories. I actually have audio from all of it and I talked to Benjamin that runs it. Benjamin and Kyle, who actually, Kyle, do you remember they were actually on Gander Stitch's game show at Odd Mall in Canton? It was
Ileana's, I remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
They were the guys who run it.
They were the ones that were having, they were the ones that were having a hard time with the popping the balloons.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they were the guys in charge of it. So each of them told a story too. But I checked with Benjamin. He's like, yeah, no problem. If you want to put out the audio anywhere or whatever. So I may pull some snippets out of little things. I'm not sure. I got to figure out what I want to do with it. But I wanted to test out the new recording equipment before I go to Origins in 2 weeks anyway. So this was a good chance to listen to it in a crowd with other stuff going on and see how it actually works.
And you ran into people that have it and were like, oh, you could do this and you could do that.
Yeah. So, and Bart, I was so proud of Bart. He was the first one up there, he had the unenviable job of breaking the ice with the crowd. Cause you never want to, the first guy out is always the hardest one cause no one's ready to go yet. You know what I mean? Everybody's still settling in.
I have never been to any of them too.
Yeah. The bunch of brand new people sitting there.
Yeah, but then if you blow people away, everyone else has got to live up to that.
Pretty much.
Right.
In wrestling, it's called curtain jerking. You jerk the curtain and get out there, and if sometimes you actually want to do that, make everybody have to step up their game behind you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, but Bart told an interesting story of how he never learned how to ride a bike.
And it was funny. It was really funny.
So, and it involved meeting a couple of buses.
Oh my gosh.
He ran into a bus, so it's like twice. That. He decided he's not going to ride a bike after that. So, but actually, I may actually get that ready and put it as a special feature at the end of one of our shows here. Because that one there, I could edit down and have it good, and he said he's fine with me doing that, so. But that was what we did yesterday. Other than, at the end of that, we met Chris from The Akronist, which is actually a website, and he does a blog, The Spoils of Akron, that we're going to be doing some collaborating with at some point, hopefully. He's interested in helping out with Oddmall and such stuff like that. But I want to give a shout out to Chris at the Spoils of Akron. It was great to meet you, man. And we'll talk to you about other stuff. He may actually be coming out to the Meeple to say hi, too. So, but that was our busy day. You guys got a day of relaxing after having a really busy night. We got to work all day, and now all of us are just crashed because it's weekend. That's right. That's what you do. So, did we have anything else? Well, we can get into some Oddmall and Meeple Oddmall news. Miss Dawn, you want to tell them what's coming up for Oddmall and Con on the Cob and such?
Yes, we have Oddmall in July on the 8th and 9th. The Backyard Bash in Hudson on Darrow Road. I believe Andy is still working on where people are going to park for that. Because there's parking issues and he's going to have like a shuttle bring people over, I think. But that's when it is and where it is. There's going to be entertainment, all the vendors, all the usual stuff, except all outdoors. And so we're crossing our fingers for fantastic weather. And then we have mid-October is the Hallowondress, now in Toledo, Ohio. And, of course, Con on the Cob, November. And the Chris Mahana Quanzmadon in Canton again in December. So
I still can't say that.
We've got plenty of stuff coming up, and it's all available on oddmall.info. So you can, and you can actually, from that one page, you can choose your Oddmall. They've got all the different banners there, and you can get all the info on who the vendors are coming up and the entertainment and all that kind of thing. And for Con on the Cob, cononthecob.com is where you get all the info. You could. It's never too early to buy your ticket for it, to register for games and put in panel ideas, all of that stuff. Never too early. Do it right now. Just go to the site. Just do something. Just do it.
Yeah, hit pause here. Go do that. Or actually, you can still listen to this while you're doing it.
Exactly. At the same time, you could be on your laptop or even on your phone and just going to cononthecob.com and submitting a game idea or saying, hey, I want to talk to a bunch of strangers for 30, 40, 50 minutes. Let me put in a panel. Do something like that.
Yeah, we're already starting to put down the panels for Oddmall. We have...
Which Oddmall?
For Con on the Cob right now. So we have, actually, I just confirmed Marcus Calvert to do his So You Want to Be a Writer panel. We have a couple paranormal panels are going to be happening. There are some podcasting panels that will be going on. And actually, I mean, the ball's really starting to roll here. So if there's anything that you guys have, let us know so I can get that on the sheet before space fills up. So
yeah. Geeksers, anybody who wants to either run a game or do panels or anything else that's a scheduled event at Con on the Cob, get it in as early as you can so you're not just stuck with what's left in the way of scheduling. You don't want to be that panel that's stuck at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning because there was no other spot for you, because trust me, no one will be there. But
unless you're an introvert and you really want no one there but want to be able to say you've done a panel,
right.
Then you can have 10 a.m. Sunday morning.
Yeah, so you want to get it in as early as you can. Also, hotel rooms. We're planning on selling out the hotel, Geeksters, so get your hotel room reserved now. So that, once again, you're not stuck with the hotel room at the end of the hall farthest away from everywhere else.
Or not in the hotel, because you don't want to not be in the hotel. Because there are parties and such that are happening every night that involve alcohol, and you don't want to have to stumble outside the front door.
Right.
So, get reserve as early as you can, as soon as you know you're going. Yeah. Well, yeah, Vicky was saying, yeah, you don't want to be stuck outside the hotel and have to walk back and forth in the dark, because we are right outside of the Cuyahoga Valley National Preserve, where they've found Bigfoot before. There have been Bigfoot sightings.
I think you're in more danger of getting hit by a car on the road that goes by than you are of seeing Bigfoot. So don't
yeah,
worry
but
about
we
it.
Can hope.
Or a mountain lion.
See, that's one thing. I forgot. We got to talk to Seth. Maybe we'll do a schedule a Bigfoot hunt or something that's part of Con on the Cob, because it's only like 2 miles away.
I've been wanting to do that from my podcast for a while, so hush.
See if we can schedule a midnight.
Yeah, sure.
Hike.
You're going to be able to pull gamers away from either their games or their alcohol to go
look,
do that.
Those guys, those gamers would not
good
move
luck.
for the sake of food.
They want to be served at their tables.
They want to move for the sake of food. So
they're willing to go to the creepy clown room at like midnight.
Yeah.
That's because they want to see an
appropriate
gamer.
It's only 20 feet away.
Yeah. Then most of the games were pretty much done by then.
But it was creepy clowns.
Yeah, that was kind of a creepy room. But yeah, I know Adrian is bringing that panel back, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
We've already asked it.
But I believe that's everything for Odd Mall and Con of the Cob at the moment, right?
Yep.
One thing with Odd Mall in July. Geeksters, you've heard Rob Turk and Gandersnitch on our show before. Well, Gandersnitch is hosting the main stage for July 8th and 9th. Since Kylan and Dawn are not going to be able to make it for the whole time, I'll still be working there, helping him out and working. Maybe he'll do a game show and I can Vanna White for him again. But Gandersnitch will actually be hosting the main stage for both days. So come on out and get a chance to meet Gandersnitch. I know you've heard him on the show. He's going to... I know he has Hogswaddles ready to go. He's doing the actual retail debut at Origins, so he'll have that with him at Odd Mall. But he's also testing two other games at Origins right now. So I'm going to hopefully get an interview with him coming up in 2 weeks for that so that we can find out about his new games and such. But come out.
Yeah, because I got the emails from the Kickstarter that he just started mailing out Hogswallow.
Yeah, we can't wait to get our copy of it.
I think he's doing like the international mailings first because they're a little more difficult and time-consuming.
Yeah. Well,
he's getting those out.
Well, this is close enough. I may just talk to him about picking it up from him at Origins to save the postage.
True.
So, but that covers that and that. You want to hit a couple of little news stories here and there?
Sure, what you got?
Actually, one that we've been watching, I've been waiting for a while now, is Star Trek actually put out a trailer. I mean, there wasn't much to the trailer.
For the TV show?
Yes, for the TV show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, because there's a movie coming out, too. I want to make sure it's clear.
Oh, yeah. No, this is for the movie. Everybody knows pretty much what's going to go on with that already. We've had a couple of trailers. But the Star Wars TV show has actually put out... This one is a true teaser. Because you get some of the music that sounds similar to the original Star Trek music. Close enough that it feels like Star Trek. And you just see a lot of CG flying through the galaxies and planets and such. And then you see a big, it says basically new villains, new crew, new planets, and it's just says Star Trek. So it shows that, other than just hearing the stories, it shows that they are actually doing something. It's not just rumors at this point. They've also added a couple new writers to their staff with some actual Star Trek cred. They've added... One of them, we already know Nicholas Meyers, who directed Wrath of Khan and The Undiscovered Country, is one of the writers on the show.
That's two of my favorite Star Trek movies.
That's what, out of the first six, that was, I thought, the two best. I mean, The Voyage Home was fun, but that was fun Star Trek. That didn't really advance Star Trek itself, the story or anything.
No.
That was just a fun romp in seeing the Star Trek characters in the 80s. But those two, the other two, were actually great story things for the Star Trek in the Star Trek universe.
Yes.
But they've also added, let me find where it's at here, Aaron Collette, that was one of the writers on Heroes, but they've added Joe Manosky, who's a veteran of doing episodes of Next Generation, Voyager, and DS9.
Okay, cool.
So The theory that we announced a couple weeks ago that this new Star Trek show could take place in the original universe, these are the type of people that were writing in the original universe.
Right.
So that may be closer to possibly being what's actually happening. Now, none of that is confirmed. That's huge, heavy rumors that it's... Because the rumors are it's going to take place between Star Trek VI and Star Trek Generations. Or Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh,
somewhere
in
that 100-year time span there. But they've said straight up it is not about the Enterprise. And it looks like now the Klingons may actually be the villains, which in that time frame, that's what it would be.
What you're saying is between which two?
Between Star Trek VI and Star Trek The Next Generation. There's like a 150-year difference in there. Well, it says somewhere here, it says in the Star Trek timeline, that means probably somewhere between 2293 and 2364. I guess lot of Star Trek fans have translated the star dates so you know the actual years.
Yeah, but see, the Kittimer Accord had already started, had taken place at that point.
But
relations between the Klingons and the Federation would have been starting to improve.
Well, the governments would have been, but that doesn't mean that everybody out there is feeling this.
Yeah,
true.
If it's only just started.
That's true.
Which actually, that could be a really good backdrop for a show.
That could be.
Is people trying
to... I mean, it'd be similar to in the late 80s when Russia and the U.S. governments were supposedly cool, but the Americans and the Russians weren't. Yeah.
Exactly. Russia was still the enemy, even though the governments were like, hey, we're buddies now.
Right.
So, you can't change... Okay. In our case, you couldn't change 50 years of these are the bad guys to the next day being, hey, they're our best friend now.
Exactly.
It doesn't kind of work that way. So that's the first one I had. What do you have for first one, Dawn?
I have two little snippets about TV shows. Twin Peaks, the new version, has actually wrapped production. And the plan is to air it in the second quarter of 2017.
Okay.
So the interesting thing is there have not been a lot of details about it, aside from, you know, certain people showing up. They have a lot of cameos. There seem to be a lot of musicians wanting to get involved in it. But, yeah, so they said it had wrapped and it's coming out next year. And also, HBO has said that Westworld will actually premiere this fall. Initially, it was supposed to come out in 2015, then it got delayed to 2017, and now they're saying fall of 2016. They have not given a specific date, but it's 10 episodes, and it's supposed to start this fall.
Okay.
So
that
we'll
sounds
see what
interesting.
Happens. Yeah.
So, and I know from the, this basically looks like, if you thought, from the what this sounds, from the casting things that are going out, this looks like if you thought Game of Thrones and like Spartacus were a little bit heavy on the sex side, they were nothing. They were mainstream NBC compared to what they're describing this show to be.
Check out the not so great original movie, and you'll figure it out from there.
I do need to go back and watch that just because it is technically a classic sci-fi western, even if it is terrible.
Yes,
scared the crap out of me when I was a kid, though.
Yeah.
The whole Android thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured it was the Android thing.
Well, I got...
They
I
make
got
them now.
Huh?
They make the Androids now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the problem now is
they're,
that...
They're pleasure bots.
Oh, yeah. Well, Japan's got all kinds of crazy stuff. But that's the one thing that's going to be interesting about this show is it's at the point where you could actually believe these things could exist.
Yep.
Because of seeing the way they do with Androids and robots and stuff now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's replaced them. You're using them?
What, McDonald's is using what? Robots?
The touch screens instead of actual people.
Oh, yeah, there's some McDonald's that you're actually don't have to...
It would be nice if that means they can actually get your orders right.
Nah, that'll never happen.
I'm fine with kicking all the cashiers out.
That'll never happen. Well, I have another one that actually is premiering this week on Netflix, Geeksters. Voltron, The Legendary Defender, actually premieres on June 10th. Now, I've been watching some of the videos for this, and... For me, this looks amazing. I don't know about you guys, but I loved Voltron growing up. And I've seen some of the other incarnations they made. And like Lion Force from a couple years ago wasn't terrible. But they had tried to continue the story forward while keeping the original characters there, which felt a little weird. But this here looks like they're going back to the very beginning of the show and just retelling the story. And it looks amazing, especially if you like the anime style, the really crisp lines and stuff from the modern... like half and half CG and animated and hand drawn.
Cool.
So that comes June 10th. It looks, like I said, I thought it looks amazing. They did finally release a sequence of them forming Voltron. And it actually, instead, the old ones, like the legs of the lions would fold up and just kind of disappear. This they actually show, kind of like they do with Transformers a lot of times, where they actually show how everything gets hidden together and fits and works.
Nice.
So they put some thought into the way this is going. So that I know a lot of geeksters out there have been getting excited about this coming out, and it's coming up next week. The other one is, did you guys see the, well, we can get on into that one with Legend, if we talk Legends a little bit, but, no, we'll hit it now because we've already talked Legends some. Do you guys see the pictures of Dominic Purcell?
His injury?
Yeah. He got blasted in the face with something and had a broken nose and had to get surgery to repair it on the
set. He got hit with a piece of the set that came apart. He needed 100 stitches and got a broken nose.
He broke his nose twice.
And yet he still looks hot. I've seen the picture. He still looks hot.
Hey, and he, you know, at least you know he's not a diva. Sorry to other actors.
Yeah, he got injured and was right back on set, even though he was beat up. And
well, the one act, because there was one actor that postponed his movie for another 2 years.
Well, that the show he's doing.
But he got run over by a car.
Well, yeah. Yeah, how do you get run over by a car with the safety stuff that's going on out there? But no, they're filming Prison Break, so they could write this right into the script, nice and easy.
Well, they said he's on like a couple weeks rest, and they're still going to keep filming, and then when he gets back, they're going to fill in his parts.
Yeah,
right.
But the other thing is, like you said, I mean, he's got injuries to the face and stuff. But, you know, there was a fight, whatever.
Right,
exactly. So I've never watched that show, but I know a lot of people say they loved it. So. Mm-hmm.
I've seen parts of the first season. It wasn't bad.
And the last thing I actually have is earlier this week, anybody who's paying attention, the Justice League, there was some huge rumors of what the name of the new Justice League movie is going to be. They had stuff like Justice League Gods and Monsters and they had like four or five different ones that could have been what it is. Well,
went with the most exciting choice ever.
Yeah, Geoff Johns finally came out and said, you know what? This is your title. It is just called Justice League. Which... And it goes to the point of Marvel, when they put out the Avengers movie, they didn't put it some crazy... They just said, hey, this is the Avengers.
And they may have learned from Bat Soup, because no one cared about the damn subtitle.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's this one's just... At the moment, it's just called Justice... Now, that doesn't mean that the studio's not going to change it later, but as of right now, it's just called Justice League.
Justice League, bringing everyone together. That'll be the subtitle.
Yep. And... on the other show, we talked Batman vs. Superman. It's confirmed it is a 386 minutes for the Ultimate Edition of Batman v. Superman.
186.
Well, good for them, because I don't need to watch it again. So.
That is huge. Well, also, the Blu-ray combo pack, they're getting an Ultra 4K Blu-ray release and a 3D Blu-ray release, both at $45.
Yep. Deadpool had that steel case, Ultra 4K. It didn't change the movie at all, which is why I didn't buy it.
Yeah. Well, unless you have an Ultra 4K TV, it doesn't make a difference anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
No.
So, but the different, all of them were about $10 to $15. All the different versions of the Batman v Superman looks like it's $10 to $15 more than your standard, any other movie that comes out in that format. Even the like two disc DVD version of it was like $30.
Yep.
So, and that doesn't even come with the Ultimate Edition. It just comes with the theatrical version.
Interesting. Right.
So I'm not sure what Warner Brothers
is doing. They're going to make their money somehow.
Yeah. So I don't know what Warner Brothers is thinking they're doing with this, but I'm almost assuming, because we have until the digital release is June 28th. The actual physical release is on July 19th, I believe. And I'm thinking the prices may change by the time it comes.
Yeah. Well, especially like on Amazon and stuff, because I pre-ordered Deadpool on Amazon, and it was already $10 cheaper than the retail price.
Yeah.
When it was up there, so.
Oh, that speaking of prices, do you guys ever use, what is it? What was that site? My Comic Shop? Have you ever heard about that site?
I did not, no.
If you pre-order your comics on there about a month ahead of time, because they use the previous magazine for pre-ordering, it's like you can get them for, I think it's like a 25% discount or something like that. You can order your new comics, because right now all of the DC main universe titles are at $2.99. They'll actually, if I pre-order July's comics before June 22nd, they're all $1.98.
Yeah, but I think Things from Another World does that too, though.
Okay.
I think a lot of the ones that you can get the pre-orders on does that.
I'm going to have to do some searching around, because it's like that makes a big difference when you're actually buying comics, if you buy enough of them.
But it takes away from the local comic shop, too.
Yeah. Well, there's certain ones that you have to go to the comic shop anyway. Like Rebirth is getting a second and third printing with special editions of them, and those ones are not in the comic, and they were never in previews, so you can't pre-order any of those.
Right.
So there's stuff like that no matter what, you're going to have to go to the comic shop anyway.
Right.
So the stuff that's just your standard titles that is going to sell no matter what, those ones you could do something like this, and then all the stuff that's going to cost you maybe a little more or special edition type things that actually would probably help the shop even more because it costs more. You go to the shop and pick up.
True.
So it's interesting with the digital age now, the way the options and the ways you can do things with comics now.
You do the digital when you know that some are going to be sold out within like a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, we went out. I got I've had to deal with that in the last couple of weeks because DC is releasing all these special stuff because of Rebirth and Hanna-Barbera Beyond. They're selling out within a day or less, all the way up to the distributor level.
See, and that's why you need to have pull lists at your local place, and you've got them guaranteed.
I
got to
set that up with over at mine.
Right.
I just never sat down to do it.
Speaking of comics, we actually have one last story.
Okay.
Because we haven't touched on it yet.
Comixology is starting an unlimited app.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And it kind of takes a similar approach that Netflix takes and Marvel Unlimited. The thing is, the big two are not involved, but that's okay because you're still getting Image, Dark Horse, IDW, Boom, Oni Press, Kandasha, Fantagraphics, Valiant, and a host of others.
Well, if I remember right, it's actually cheaper than Marvel Unlimited also.
Yeah, it's $5.99 a month. Now, mind you, I don't know if this means that you're going to be able to get entire catalogs like you get with Marvel Unlimited, because Marvel Unlimited, it's in some cases, it's entire runs going all the way back to the 60s with their issues.
Okay.
But so you get there's a 30-day trial, and it says you can cash up to 50 titles at once for offline reading. And so this was a story that came from the Nerdist. So if you hit the Nerdist site, you'll be able to get more details in that story. Plus, earlier this week, IDW announced that they're making a full-on shared Hasbro universe.
Okay.
That includes Transformers, G.I. Joe, Micronauts, ROM, Action Man, and Mask. So now Mask is coming out this summer. Mask will be out this fall. I believe ROM is going to be out this summer. They had a release from Free Comic Book Day. Micronauts issue 1 is out. It's good. And so we're going to be seeing, even when as the movies come out, like I don't know if or when we're getting we are definitely getting another Transformers movie. I don't know if we're getting another G.I. Joe movie. But if that's the case, then the understanding is that they want that to translate over to the movie universe because there's talk of Matt Tracker, who is the leader of Mask, showing up in the new G.I. Joe movie if and when it comes out. So that's something to keep your eyes and ears peeled for.
Okay.
And one last thing, and this is over in the gaming, from the gaming world. This week, HeroClix announced a preview of the 2016 HeroClix exclusive convention exclusives.
I didn't think HeroClix was still out.
Still out.
I didn't even know it was still a thing.
They have a bunch of events called WizKids official events. And so in this case, what we see coming from the Marvel side is Cosmic Daredevil, Spider-Man, Rocket Raccoon, Groot, exclusives that is also an exclusive event will be Origins Game Fair. So if for all the geeksters who play HeroClix, who play Marvel HeroClix for that matter, and who are planning on going to Origins, that is a WizKids exclusive event.
And they're going to have, you can actually purchase, what is it?
It's
the Marvel HeroClix Punisher van set.
Yes, so
multiple weapon systems, bulletproof glass, and armor plating for the Punisher van.
Yeah, I was just kind of clicking through, looking at this. This thing looks phenomenal, guys.
I'm
serious. So if you can, I mean, if this is...
It's on Marvel.com if anyone wants more details on the HeroClix stuff.
Yeah, Marvel.com has it. And also WizKids.com does too. So you can check that out as well.
You can probably get a schedule of their events and stuff there too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's someone else I need to schedule an interview with then.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will be down there at Origins this year.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So, you know,
there you go.
That's right. So Geek Watch 1 is going to be there. So check it out.
Also, before we get into the TV shows real quick, Geeksters, remember, if you find Miss Vicky or myself at Origins, we will have buttons and other swag. Now, everybody can get a button. But what, Kylan, you had something that everybody had to do something special for. What was that? Do you remember last week?
No, he doesn't remember.
Because we got to come up with an exclusive prize for something like that still.
What was I talking about? Oh, if you're going to wear a Geek Watch 1 t-shirt.
Yeah, if they wear a Geek Watch 1 t-shirt, we will have something special for you. I'm not sure what it is yet, but we will come up with something.
Don't tell them we're not sure.
Hey, we have never kept secrets from our geeks.
We know. It's a top secret special prize.
That's right. So find Miss Vicky and myself at Origins, and if you have your Geek Watch 1 t-shirt, you get something really special.
Are you going to flash them?
No. Usually I wear stuff underneath my kilt, depending on what's going on.
You do have babies, you can show those.
Well, I've already done that on the show.
Oh, true.
That's not something special. So, let's get into some of these show finales.
Yes.
Now, let's go ahead and start off with, we've never really talked Supernatural, so later on this summer, I think we're going to have to sit down and have a Supernatural show, because there's been 10 seasons of this show. And if we start into that now, we're going to be podcasting for the next 6 hours.
True that.
So
all we can say is one thing: bring Charlie back, who cares about the rest?
They definitely had an interesting take on God this season.
Okay, can I just say though, considering how it ended, they could bring Charlie back.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
Neither one
at the very end they brought their mom back.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing, Geeksters, anybody who hasn't watched the show, the beginning of the show was actually, the whole thing was that Sam and Dean, the two main characters of the show, their mom was killed by a demon when they were kids.
We're not doing a recap on what the show's about.
Well,
it's about too much, and if you don't know by now, you're never going to watch it.
This plays into what we're talking about. Give me about a minute, less than a minute.
Unless somebody doesn't want to sleep for 2 weeks, and they can, like...
But the whole show started with the father teaching the sons how to fight demons so they could find the one that killed their mother. Well, at the end of this episode, their mother is brought back from the dead by God himself.
But is Sam dead?
No, actually by God's sister. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in this one, yes, God has a sister in this. But I thought it was an interesting season all around. It was just... But all these last seasons seem like they're just... putting it out there because people are watching. I've not been as excited about it as I was at the very towards the beginning and stuff. I mean, we're still watching it because it's just what you do.
Well, the problem is they were expecting it to run for a certain number of seasons and they had an entire story arc. Mm-hmm. And then when it became popular and it went past those seasons, they suddenly needed to create another arc. And then the past couple seasons have gotten messy.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't really had a very solid... grounding, and then this past season they went back to a lot of Creature of the Week episodes,
which is fine.
Yeah, I love those
bad,
ones.
It's back to the like their first season, the way it really worked well.
Mm-hmm.
And at least, you know, it was kind of like a break between all of this. You know, the world is ending yet again.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like every season the world is ending. But then the past few episodes leading up to the finale got you back to. You know, they rediscovered where the hell God went, and Chuck showed up again. And that was some of, like, the best conversations is when Chuck shows up. It's like they're just talking to God, and he's got all this stuff going on. And
some of the Metatron and God stuff was amazing this year.
That was some great dialogue.
Especially when he held them accountable, like, you just up and left. You know, I was like, well, somebody called him on it. You know, because I mean, the last time we see God, it was during a meta episode. He was at a convention, and then he just disappeared. That was it.
Exactly.
You know, I think it was in the middle of stuff going on. But
he and that's why his sister decided to show up and try to take over and just end everything.
Yeah. He has so much God has so much faith in Sam and Dean and what they are able to do that, you know, I think like Dean gets mad at God because God keeps putting stuff on him. He's like,
yeah.
That's because she was jealous of his toys.
Yeah,
exactly.
Playing with his toys. Yeah. That was an interesting take on it, too. Just the fact that, one, God has a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then bringing in almost the Eastern philosophy part of the yin and yang with God and his sister being the ultimate good and ultimate evil.
Yeah, I think it worked that way. Like, the story made sense that way that, you know, if you're going to have a God, you have to have something opposite and... Lucifer is not the opposite because he was he was one of the angels and fell, so he was never at the same level. You needed someone at the same level.
Right.
So, but it was an interesting season overall. I mean, like I said, I thought Supernatural was best myself when it was the creature of the week just fighting a demon that's not trying to, or is trying to bring about the apocalypse, but it wasn't someone you believed actually could do it.
When they did all that stuff with the child Lilith, that was really good.
Yeah.
Couple seasons back, that was some good stuff when they were kind of chasing her around and she was doing nasty things to people.
I know one thing I did this season, like you said, you got back to the creature of the week, which was fun because you'd break up this season-long narrative with the actual creature of the week things here and there. Right. So that was I enjoyed that when the last couple seasons when they were doing the all week or all season long, it was one long story with no breaks in between. That was getting a little tedious, I think.
It was. It was for sure. I think they did much better this season. And the thing is, they know that the fans are going to just stick around and watch anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think trying to draw other people in by giving them the creature of the week and like you don't have to pay as much attention to the rest of the story necessarily. I think that might have helped them this season too, considering they've got another season to go, at least one or two more.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for next season. We'll get more, even more of the creature of the week and just fighting against one major overarching demon or something like that.
Right. And I think
wrap it up in a nice little bow like that.
Yeah, I think because of how this one ended with, they brought the mom back to life. Supposedly, mm-hmm. we saw her anyway. You know, there could be other characters that have come back or other creatures maybe that they actually helped get rid of before that are suddenly back. So yeah, you'd have to have that.
Hey, I say bring back Bobby.
Yeah, definitely.
Bobby's
got to come back. Anyway, that storyline where they went back and had that early Bobby story was really good.
But that was so good.
Have you guys?
I love Bobby and Rufus.
Do you guys know where they got the name for Bobby yet, right?
That was the writer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like the head writer. Well, he's still one of the head writers on the show. His name is Robert Singer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby Singer was actually just straight up. That's his name, straight up. They didn't change anything.
And we have another plot point coming up because you have this European arm of the Men of Letters who is apparently really ticked off at what Sam and Dean have been doing, and this woman shows up and seems to shoot Sam or something.
Yeah.
So, we have a whole other arc starting here.
And that kind of comes out of nowhere because for the last couple seasons, since they discovered the Men of Letters, everybody assumes they're all that's left of it.
Exactly. So it kind of expands it and it's like, wait, this is a global thing and you're not following the rules. Surprise, surprise.
It's like, well, no one was there to teach them the rules.
Exactly.
They just showed up and said, hey, oh, wow, this is a thing now.
So we'll see where that goes.
And it was interesting. What was it, two seasons ago that they introduced that in the new bunker and all that?
Yeah.
I had missed one or two episodes, and that's it. And all of a sudden, it's like, you got a brand new show, because I had missed the one episode that introduced the Men of Letters, and then from then on, it was just a thing that was always there.
Right.
So if you didn't see that one episode, you're lost until you figure out, okay, I guess
there are definitely a few key episodes along the way.
Although that is one of the greatest layers/bunkers of any TV show I've ever seen, I think. I love that place.
Yes.
Well, I love when they first moved there. And Dean starts nesting, and he's like cooking meals, and he's all happy. And
well, they've never had a home.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, they've never had a home to sit down and say, this is where we live.
Exactly. It's not some roach motel by the road.
I kind of miss those, though, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to admit, whenever we go driving somewhere, like when we're going on our trips and stuff, you drive by certain places, you're like, yeah, Sam and Dean would stay there.
Well, what it is those type places don't check IDs as closely.
That's
and
true.
Don't realize what it's like, or maybe they just have the old knuckle buster credit card thing. So if you got a dummy card, they're not going to know about it until you're gone.
You can pay cash, not a problem.
So, the other one I really liked when they first found the bunker was the garage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. And yet, they still use the same car every time.
Because it's baby.
That's right. Actually, I'm looking at a small Hot Wheel-sized version of Baby sitting right in front of me that I got from Loot Crate.
Yeah. We have two of those.
That is... So,
The funny thing was, I went on a mad search to find Baby because I knew there was a Supernatural line of cars. Couldn't find Baby anywhere. And then...
It shows up in Loot Crate.
And I'm like...
Yep.
So that's a lot of what happened with Supernatural. Which one do we want to head to next?
Well, since it kind of finished earliest, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. we can touch on quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Kylan, you are the mighty Marvel geek here. So why don't you start off with this and we'll see where we go.
All right. Well, we've had a month, a season's worth of stuff going on with Hydra figuring out about the Inhumans, and Hive, and so now here we are, pretty much the climax of it all, and Hydra and Hive is set to reset the world.
And basically all Hive. Like, Hive is it.
Yeah, Hive is it because... About a month or so ago, Hydra has effectively been taken out, supposedly.
It's never gone.
It's never gone, no. But, you know, we can believe.
Much like S.H.I.E.L.D. was never gone, Hydra's not gone.
And so we also have this vision that has been recurring since the return from the winter break. So we know that a member of the team is going to die.
Daisy's vision, by the way.
Daisy's vision. Yes.
We didn't. It could have been anybody from S.H.I.E.L.D.
It could have been. S.H.I.E.L.D. See, the thing is that the patch, the key for me was the patch on the arm because that was an old S.H.I.E.L.D. patch.
Yeah.
Not new S.H.I.E.L.D., old S.H.I.E.L.D., which made me nervous. Okay. So until, you know, the season finale, people start hopping around in the same jacket.
And they played off that necklace, too, because the necklace kept getting passed from person to person.
Oh, yeah, right. They teased it the entire time there.
Oh, my God.
They teased it, so we...
Got it, I just about died. I'm like, no, it can't be Mac!
I did not want Mac to die. And, you know, so we... And even on Mighty Marvel Geeks, we had Lorraine Sink on the show, who is the host for a bunch of the Marvel shows on YouTube. And she even told us on there, I know how it ends.
Yeah, she said.
So she teased it.
A couple weeks ahead of time, she knew how it ended and was teasing them about it.
Right, yeah. So we get 2 hours. We're getting 2 hours of this. And so we end up with...
Basically, it came down to a big battle.
Yeah, big battle.
And they had to figure out a way to get rid of Hive while not letting him release that gas that was going to turn everyone into those things.
Yeah, almost like a Neanderthal.
The mindless drones.
Does it mean, or do those remind you of the, have you guys been watching Wayward Pines?
Yeah.
Those things look just like the Abbeys, don't they?
They do look like them, yes.
I think they got the same creature effects people.
Right.
Not quite fully formed faces,
And so we're getting teased. At first it looked like it's going to be Fitz, but it's not Fitz. It looks like it's going to be... Mac, and it's not Mac.
Well, and then maybe it was going to be Daisy because she was going to volunteer to do something.
Yeah, well, it could have been anybody on the team at any point because I think everybody got a hold of the necklace at some point, even Coulson.
Yeah,
right. And then so we end up with the battle. Daisy and Hive are duking it out, and then Daisy is on the ship. Maybe she's not on the ship. We don't know. All of a sudden, Lincoln shows up. Daisy's off the ship.
Can we just say Lincoln was injured earlier, too, though?
Yeah, Lincoln had been injured earlier, so we're thinking Lincoln is not going to be hurt. But no, he manages to get... He was in the Quinjet. The Quinjet takes off, going towards space. Meanwhile, the bomb is the only way it can safely detonate is if it gets into above the stratosphere. So, at this point, Hive is pretty much, you know, he's accepted defeat. You know that there's no his plans for world domination.
Well, there comes a part where they can't return anyway.
Right.
The jet's going up, and the reason someone had to be on it to make sure it got through to the stratosphere, and that Hive didn't stop it.
Right.
Well, yeah, because the jets are pressurized and they're ready for very low atmosphere, but
right.
they're still designed that they need air for propulsion.
Right.
So once you get to a certain point, you can't steer because there's no air for air resistance on it.
Exactly. And so that was one of the reasons there was such a back and forth with who's going to end up on the jet, because someone has to be there to make sure it gets to a certain point.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Lincoln basically kicked Daisy off the plane and trapped himself and Hive on there and just went for it.
And so then, and the weird thing that Hive and Lincoln had this weird sort of weird respect for each other. You know, but
they did have a bit of a conversation at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it was kind of like, I mean, they were accepting both of their fates just in general, nothing.
Right.
And I think that made it a little more conclusive that it was ending Hive.
Yeah.
Just so, by the speeches they had.
Now,
and then
it
was a boom.
Right.
This is probably going to make me unpopular, but out of all the characters on the team, Lincoln was the one guy I think we could have just lost.
No, I'm fine.
I have no problem with Lincoln being the guy that's gone, because really, he was always, well, I want to be part of it. I don't want to be part of it. I do want to be part of it. Well, maybe,
he was
maybe
a waffler.
Not. Yeah, he was. His whole job there was basically to be Daisy's love interest.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, he was never the most popular character, period, among the audience, I think, anyway. And he wasn't on there long term, like the majority of the rest of the characters.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a loss, but it's not as big a loss as it was if it had been Daisy or something like that.
Right. It's almost like the writers took the easy way out.
Well, you know, there are some people who were upset over Lincoln's loss. But, you know, the thing is, we've invested so much in Mac and Simmons and Fitz and Coulson and the original team that loss has to mean something. And I'm not saying that Lincoln's death doesn't mean anything, but the truth is his death, in my opinion, was the most logical of all the deaths.
Yeah.
You know, especially if things do pan out the way they're looking like they're going to pan out for
the
season of
Marvel. I think him dying was the impetus for Daisy going rogue again.
Right.
Because you have a time jump at the very end. Daisy obviously is no longer part of the team. She's causing problems, but she's also helping.
Right.
Because she helped the family of the guy that helped her kind of capture Hive at the one point.
Was the family of the guy who was seeing the future.
No longer.
Hmm?
Wasn't that the family of the guy who was showing people their own death?
Yeah.
Or a vision of death?
Because he gave her the little Robin to give to his daughter.
Yeah, he was the guy from the beginning of...
just after the winter break.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who was kind of homeless.
And so we know that Coulson is no longer director. And also that...
Okay, basically, everyone who was in the shot for that final time jump scene, none of them are director, because
right,
they talk about contacting the director.
And who we don't see.
And May is not in that shot.
May is not, but at the same time, in the comics, it's Sharon Carter.
Okay.
Or it's hinted to be Sharon Carter. And the thing is, Marvel likes to connect everything.
And I could see her, that actress, coming on TV.
Yeah.
I can too.
Well, she's a TV actress to start with.
Yeah, exactly.
So the thing is, we don't know if it's going to be May, or if it's going to be Carter, or if May is...
To me, May was noticeably absent, though. I mean, you know, she may have been the one taking the calls back at home or whatever, but to me, she was noticeably absent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and plus, it's looking like there's a desire, want, need, attempt, what have you, to get rid of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So if that's the case...
I think that's just ABC on a corporate level is making a decision that they're done with the superhero stuff for now.
It is. It's ABC on the producer planning level because they hired someone who doesn't like superhero shows to do it.
Yeah.
So that's why they've stuck it at 10 o'clock. They're trying to kill it.
I have an interesting idea for the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ooh. What if it's Talbot?
No. Talbot's too military.
Yeah.
And is a military man cannot handle an intelligence organization.
Depends on who actually appointed the director.
It wouldn't be Talbot.
What if it was like a presidential decision and the president decided, you know what, this is the guy I want to do it or something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, the president put Coulson over Talbot for...
I can't see Coulson staying with S.H.I.E.L.D. if Talbot's the one in charge.
No.
Yeah?
No.
We got a lot of stuff coming up for that. The other question I have is the actor who's played Ward, they always figure out a way to bring him back in this. So what are they going to bring back for this time? You know he's coming back at some point. Because he always comes back.
I don't see how. I mean, unless they make him. Although, see, they teased the life model decoy.
That's where I was about to head next.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
Different ones.
The life model decoy, at least at this point, is female. And the voice of her is the voice of the android who's on Dark Matter.
Right.
Which is kind of funny that they're both androidish.
Unless they make a life model decoy of him, I can't see him coming back.
Yeah. Well, Vicky was thinking, what if Vicky has a crazy idea? What if the actual new head of S.H.I.E.L.D. is actually a clone put in there by someone else, or she's saying a clone of Ward is brought back at some point. They do an actual just clone instead of life model decoy.
Well, see, clones don't exist in the Marvel universe.
Okay.
Well, not at this level.
Well, the life model decoy is like an android, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, and LMD is a. Yeah, LMD is an android, but it's like a slightly less developed version of Vision.
Okay.
I saw someone point out, what if all those Patton Oswalt brothers are actually life model decoy early units?
And see, that's what they've been. that's what we've been wondering because so how many like brothers how many are
of,
there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one of them seems to get killed, and they're fine with it. I mean, I don't know.
So I don't know. I think.
The thing is, it seemed to be a farewell to the actor based on his and other actors' tweets and images after the finale.
It's going to be weird seeing the show without him, though, because he's been there as a good guy, as a bad guy, as in-between guy.
Yeah, he's been there since the beginning.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if this was actually his choice to actually be off the show totally, or if they actually do have something down the road that they're doing really good covering up.
I'm going to, if he doesn't come back... I really hope he keeps on with his live tweeting of the show, though, because his are the best tweets to read. He makes jokes throughout all the episodes. He does horrible puns about everything. It's it's like the most fun on Twitter.
Oh, sounds like you guys got to get him on Mighty Marvel Geeks. He'll fit right in with your guys' puns.
Exactly.
He'd probably out-pun us.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we have for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the moment, right? Has there been any news or anything yet for next season? Nothing anything to cover?
No.
Okay, so we ready to move over to the CW again?
Yep.
So let's start with Arrow, because Arrow, this season was just a little weird. I think the fans got a little bit too... Or what it was they tried to give the fans what they wanted, and the fans realized it wasn't what they wanted.
What, you mean a lighter show?
Well, all the stuff with Felicity, with Oliver and Felicity and the whole storyline there, it's like for 3 years, people have been saying they wanted Felicity, they wanted to see it. That's all you got this season.
That's because the loudest voices aren't always the majority voices.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was...
But I don't think you got all that much of it this season. I mean, there was so much else going on, it didn't affect the rest of the story.
Well, the first half of the season, we got all kinds of it. And then that's like they just like usual, after the break, they did a different direction and start setting up for the finale.
Yeah, I think a lot of it proved that a lighter Arrow doesn't work.
I think it can't depend, but
it's much better when it has the deeper, darker stories.
Yeah, well, I know for next year, that's where they're going. They're going to a lot more grounded, a lot more stuff with him as mayor and things like that.
The thing that I think didn't work was all the magic this season. Like, having Damian Dark sounded like a good idea as the big bad, but I don't think it worked.
Yeah. No. I think it was okay, but yeah, like you said, it just, unless he has, you bring in a magic character on Oliver's side,
yeah,
actually
like having,
be part of the team,
like,
that would be a difference.
Ultimately, having Oliver be able to defeat Dark by thinking really good thoughts, it's like, it was like Peter Pan. Think
I was
going to
say, it worked for Peter
fly.
Pan.
I mean, it got ridiculous.
That and the one thing that was kind of interesting.
Great thing about fantasy, anything can go.
Yeah. But
not if it doesn't work for the story, though.
But the one thing that they did do that between this and Flash both, the villain's final.
I think that has to do with Constantine.
What does?
Think positive and you can fly. I still think that has to do with Constantine with the tattoo on his side.
Yeah, that
Constantine was never positive, though.
Yeah. Well, no, she's saying the tattoo that Constantine gave him, that's probably why he ended up with we know that is why he got the power to be able to do this.
Yeah, but maybe if they referenced that tattoo a little bit in the last couple episodes,
yeah,
it might have worked as
yeah,
part
see,
of the story.
Yeah, see, they completely
they
dropped
totally
it.
They totally dropped that whole thing.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for it to come back, and I was like...
Even that woman, that female magician or whatever that he got the tips from about have happy thoughts... She didn't reference
the,
it at all.
You mean the not Zatanna?
Yeah, exactly, her.
So, but no, what Flash and Arrow, the villains on these shows for this season especially, the one thing we did get out of them was this was a comic book supervillain plan. This
right,
one he
yeah.
wants to blow up the world and save just the people in the Ark with the nuclear the nuclear missiles. And Flash, you have Zoom decides, you know what, I'm going to destroy the multiverse with this Magnetar. And so that this is the only place left. These are straight up supervillain plots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I kind of appreciate that because that's what these shows are for DC. They're saying that these are comic books being done live.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, the plan is terrible and it makes no sense whatsoever, but that's what it's supposed to be for this type of media.
Well, part of the problem is, like, I don't mind the big crazy plans. As long as everything fits the logic of that universe.
Yeah. Well, the logic of this universe has been very fluid since the beginning.
And that's the problem. I mean, if they're not going to set up their own universe properly, the stories aren't going to come out well.
Well, that's been a comic book thing through the years also. Depending on who's writing, the rules change.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you have a single season, you should be able to keep the same rules for the season.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the slight bit of reality that gets in where they had a nuclear explosion a few episodes ago that apparently no one on Flash knew about.
Yeah.
Because they didn't mention it.
That's true. I kept waiting for that to come out because of the connection.
Yeah.
But it never came out.
One thing we do find out, though, in this is the episodes that are on the same week are not exactly the exact same time. Because the episode that Barry shows up at the grave, he super speeds in, but on Flash that same week, he had lost his powers the week before and still did not have them this week.
Right.
Right.
So there is a slight time difference. So it could be that that happens after what happens on Flash.
Possibly.
I mean, that's why a lot of times they don't do the crossovers as an event, because at that point, the stories have to be at the same point. But other than that, timeline-wise, they could be a little fluid on them.
True.
And then there's all those exploding missiles in space. Stupidest idea ever. Like, there's some... You can't tell me that just, oh, let's put them all into space and let them explode there. Nothing will happen. Sure, nothing will happen.
Well, no, Superman threw them into the sun.
What's the difference?
And,
Yeah, because exploding them in the sun isn't a bad idea either.
No. Well, the sun is a giant nuclear bomb anyway.
Yeah, that big nuclear bomb, a little bit nuclear.
Yeah, that little bit extra we added to it is not... Yeah. The Superman added to it is not going to make that big of a difference. So, but yeah, Arrow, it was okay, and it had a decent finish, but I'm actually excited
Arrow,
about
Arrow
the very finish
dud.
Of it.
Arrow was a dud of a finale. I'm sorry.
But the end
dud.
Of it, where we're showing for next season, it looks like it's going to be good. Because the one thing people have been wanting since the beginning of this season, they were talking about the mayor race with Ollie running for mayor. Well,
yes.
He gets appointed as mayor of Starling City at the end of this.
Because apparently, in terms of legal politics in Starling City, you only have to be the one left alive.
Pretty much. Well, they have
like,
to have someone take the job.
Stupidest reason. Let me appoint you mayor. Come on.
Well, they also made the point that Ollie had won 49% of the vote as a write-in candidate because he wasn't even on the ballot. So the vote for
that doesn't win you the election when everyone else is dead.
Yeah, but then then who gets to actually be mayor?
Whoever's next in line currently. Like, that's how politics works. There's a line of succession.
Yeah, but you got to think that
you don't just
this
get to
one,
say, hey, you were running for it. You want to take it now?
Well, Duvet's cabinet stuff would have probably been with her in the arc when all that went down. So
true.
You could assume that the line of succession is gone except for the seat of council.
Actually, Lance might have been in line for it.
It's possible.
Yep.
He was in the police force.
Like, yeah, but see, games. He had been fired at that point.
But there's other people in the police force that would have been in line for it then.
Yeah.
True.
See, but it just doesn't make sense that they're like, oh, hey, Ollie, come over here. You're mayor.
Why? They did 6 movies just like that.
Yeah, which
fight
one?
Fight to the death and you can win. Hunger
yeah,
Games.
She's saying the Hunger Games was like that. It's like, dude, whoever's on top keeps going.
Yeah, that's the, you know, the logic of YA.
Yeah. But
hey, it made a lot of money and it worked.
But on this one, it kind of, if you think of that the line of succession may have all died like that, it would be up to the city council to actually elect a mayor, more than likely. I've heard of that in multiple places that and it
point,
used to
yes.
be like that. Yeah, the city council.
Well, they did that in Akron.
When
Pasquelic stepped down, they appointed just a temporary person until they replaced
him. It was someone who was already in political
yeah.
office, though.
Yeah.
But
Ollie wasn't
like
in political
I said,
office at all.
Everybody that was working with Duvet would have been in the arc with her, more than likely, and now that they're dead, there's Oliver would probably be the actual next logical choice.
By default.
But you gotta think, he's only gonna be mayor officially, he's only mayor for 3 months.
And then they're gonna probably vote him in.
Yeah, then they'll let him vote him in.
Line.
No, but see, I have to admit, I like
it all
you know,
up.
Well,
the storyline with him as mayor
yeah.
made for some really good writing because he honestly struggled with the legality, the difference that he can make as mayor as opposed to the difference he was making as Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Like, he really struggled with that.
Well,
finally showed that at the end of the season when that family whose house they broke into
right.
pointed out to him, you know, Green Arrow stood there, gave us hope, let us down. They gave us hope again, he let us down. He said he was going to change things again and let us down.
So, I loved the, because I was reading the run when he became mayor, and it kind of added another depth to Oliver Queen as a character, and I think it's a depth that the television version of Oliver Queen can use.
Yeah.
I kind of make him closer to the comic version, because this Oliver Queen isn't so concerned about social issues the way he is in the comics. I think it'd be cool to kind of bring that part of him out more.
Well, they've already confirmed that. They said, and Stephen Amell's even said on himself that next season, especially in the flashback, because you got to think, next season's flashbacks catch up to the beginning of the series.
Uh-huh.
So they said a lot of what you're going to see in the flashbacks for next season, well, one, you're going to see we're going to have to see the Russian storyline at some point, because you got to right. find out where he gets the Bratva tattoo, where he learns how to speak Russian, all of these things before he gets rescued from the island. So we're going to see that, but you're also going to see, they said, a lot of looking at the how the rest of the city views Oliver Queen. Not because all this, the four seasons we've had so far all are from Arrow's point of view, really, if you look at it.
Yeah,
so
right.
you see how people look at Arrow. But this is going to show where the people are actually, how their view on Ollie and how that changes somewhat.
Yeah.
So, also, it's going to open up, since Ollie being mayor, he's not going to have the same amount of time once we to do Arrow as often.
Right. I won't.
It's going to leave the door open. There's going to be a new vigilante, which they've not actually mentioned who it is, but they have a description
right.
for him. There's a new vigilante that shows up in town, and the description is, he's a cocksure, reckless ex-Marine turned vigilante. Who's running down the streets. Now, yeah, this one, the article, I actually pulled up one from comicbook.com. It's actually the showrunner, Wendy Merkel from Arrow. She says, where was it? Yeah, it says how even with the new crime fighter on the loose, Oliver is still focused on his position as mayor. Then she says, quote, City Hall, that institution is crucial to our series. She also says that the show's flashbacks, it's very possible that we'll find out how he got the Bratva tattoo and learned to speak Russian. And then she says, when Oliver says no one can know my secret at the beginning of the series and kills the guy, we're going to actually get more insight into that from the pilot of the series.
Interesting.
So, and then we don't know
I mean, because they have to have someone fighting crime because he has no more Team Arrow. It's either Arrow or nothing. Everyone else left.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's that felt like it was basically giving the audience a chance to believe that this is actually that the hiatus we're having for the summer is real time for the characters in the show.
Yeah.
The whole thing, you notice how it's convenient that the mayoral election's in August, right before the show comes back in October.
Yep.
All these people are going to find themselves, give them a couple of months, and then they come back in October, and all of a sudden we have Team Arrow again.
Well, the problem is with Diggle, though, because he's gone back into the military. That's not just a couple months.
Right.
So, yeah, it's TV.
Yeah, but they've stuck pretty well with a lot of the military logic and the military timelines and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, speaking
Diggle
of timelines,
might not be back right away.
We don't know how much of the timeline, if at all, is going to be messed up because of the finale of Flash.
True.
Ooh, that's right.
So, and actually, we have some theories on that once we get to that, too. But before we get to that, do you want to? We can wrap up on Arrow here. So, what else do you guys have for Arrow for this?
I don't have anything else on it.
That's it for me.
So,
I just don't think it worked well overall as a finale. Yeah, the season was okay, but the finale wasn't great.
Well, they said straight up, next season is going to be a lot less fantastical. The villain I brought that up, too. The villain they're bringing in for next season is another one that they've not mentioned. They said a name for him, but it's not a comic book villain. So we don't know if it's a placeholder name. But they said he's basically, you guys would probably know this more than I do. They said the Hollywood, what was it, TV line had an article that said that the new villain is actually loosely inspired by the drug kingpin Stringer Bell from The Wire. Now, I've never watched The Wire, so I'm not sure who the character was like, or was. It's Idris Elba's character.
If it's based on Idris Elba, that's all that matters.
So, but we're back to a character who's not magic, he doesn't have superpowers. I think it's more someone similar to what Malcolm Merlyn was in the first season, before they got into the mysticism and stuff.
That worked pretty well, too.
Where he was basically just a businessman who was running the things behind the scenes.
Right.
So that looks like that's what we're going to get for next season. That's the villain for next season. They have a name for him. I'm not seeing it right now, so I'm not going to keep searching for it. So, but that's looking next season. We're definitely Arrow is going to be the grounded show. And each one, because we have four shows running next season, and we are going to have Stephen Amell actually at Philly Wizard World this weekend was on stage talking about all this. And he said he's actually looking forward to the four-show crossover they're going to have this season.
Yeah, they announced that a couple weeks ago as soon as they announced Supergirl.
Well, he said the two main things he's looking forward to in this was he wants to see Supergirl fly on Arrow at some point and get Diggle's reaction to it. Because you got to think, anytime you see an actual metahuman that they're working with, Diggle's initial reaction is the best part of it.
Right.
Because he's the guy that fanboys for like 30 seconds every time he sees something. But and then he just covers it up like, oh, wait, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. Tries to play it cool. But the other one he wants is he said, we've had Victor Garber in this universe for, what, 2 years now? Two seasons between Flash and Legends and everything else. And he wants a scene with Victor Garber at some point, somehow.
Okay.
That Stephen Amell, that's the biggest thing he's looking forward to, is he wants to work with Victor Garber at least once.
Interesting.
Yes. So
I did see that he promised there would not be a four-part musical crossover episodes.
Yes. So we're not going to get a musical. Darn it.
We do not want to see these guys do music.
I think that's the main ones they had on that one. What else came out of Wizard World so far? I think that's the only two that I picked up that came out of Wizard World from him. But let's move on. Flash is going to be
bunch of stuff. Just a really quick blip.
Oh yeah, you have a friend who was actually, which Comic Con was that?
Arizona.
Phoenix.
Yeah, there was one in Phoenix this weekend.
My friend was James was in a panel talking about like space and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Guess what explodes over top of Phoenix?
Oh yeah.
A monstrous
monster. Talking about Comic Cons, he's in a panel talking about meteors asteroids and stuff, and they have a meteor explode over. Phoenix and light up the sky like it was daylight.
Arizona.
And rain basically, and the, NASA even said, you're going to find meteors for a long time of little bits of this thing that actually landed.
Mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of people end up with superpowers out there. Because those are the kind of events that make superpowers.
That's right.
So then you're going to get the people in the aluminum foil hats saying they saw aliens and all that stuff.
Well,
that was just the cosplayers.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to Flash. This one actually had the biggest, I think, the biggest impact on for its universe of any of the finales.
Yeah,
right.
Because this actually may bring in what they were showing, they teased at the beginning of the first season, first episode, when they talked about the crisis. So I'm thinking this is going to be what they've played with the timeline enough that either it's going to bring in Crisis or Flashpoint, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. I think Flashpoint's more likely because of how that storyline starts.
Yeah, this is this is the exact same way that they started Flashpoint originally.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting that they're talking about Arrow, that it looks like Arrow's going to continue on like normal with no major changes. Which makes me wonder, is this going to be a, is it going to start a, like a pocket Flashpoint universe that's separate that he ends up fixing before we get to the crossover?
Well, yeah, he's created an alternate timeline.
Exactly. So is for the first couple weeks, are we going to have Flash and Arrow as separate timelines? As separate universes?
I would think so.
Which would be cool, because if you think of the way Flashpoint worked, Flashpoint, once Flash goes back and fixes it, they used it as a chance to kick off the New 52, which a lot of people say that Flashpoint started the New 52, but they were going to do that anyway. They just used Flashpoint as an excuse to do it. But they also, by doing that, they brought Constantine and Swamp Thing into the main DC universe. And the Wildcats. Those three were all brought into the main DC universe because of Flashpoint. So what's the chances that when he goes back and fixes this and brings the continuity officially back to normal, that that's how we bring National City into the main universe?
Right.
It's
also how they can bring Captain Cold back. He doesn't have to be dead.
Exactly.
That's true.
Well, they've already said that Wentworth Miller is going to be on all of the different shows off and on, depending on what it is, but he's not a series regular for Legends. It's almost like he has a series regular role for multiple shows instead of just
all
one.
The series.
So he's
sorry,
gonna be
Andy.
All over the place.
Andy <He'll>, hates him.
So you're gonna get Captain Cold somehow.
Yep.
It's just he's not gonna be straight up just on Legends or just on Flash. So it's nice that they're looking at this as a four show universe that you can actually trade characters back and forth on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this is the first time I think we've ever got a universe this large on television for anything. I mean, they've brought shows together with crossovers, but nothing this big.
No, I disagree, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. I feel so ashamed. Yeah, Falcon Crest and Dallas and Notch Landing, and they all shared the same universe.
And the thing is, he knows these stories.
Yeah, he does.
Well, mine, it was only about less, it was less than a year, but I know I got caught on General Hospital back in the 80s when it was all about spies for like half a year for a summer.
But yeah, that's understandable.
That, the other thing you get, too, though, is soap operas crossover with characters, too. And that kind of proves what people have been saying about Arrow over the past season, that it's a soap opera now.
Well, scary that you know that, because I don't even watch those things.
Yeah. Well, nobody anymore, I don't think anybody watches them, because there's, two of them left on TV?
They've gone to, like, their own cable networks and stuff.
Yeah. So, but
we only
Flash,
know that because of your sister.
Yeah, my sister, my Hulu is full of Nashville and General Hospital and stuff like that because my sister has my Hulu account.
Nice.
Nothing like, did you put this on this queue? What is this?
We both look at it like, we didn't put this on. Where does, oh yeah, now I know why this is on here. But going back
so
to Flash.
I put offensive things on our queue.
But on Flash, we do we see the series finale. Wally. I'm in Rebirth right now.
You know,
it's still
like,
in my head.
Like,
but
fat and dying.
But Barry finally does have his final run-in with Zoom, and it is an actual run-in because they have a race. Zoom wants to destroy the multiverse, everything but Earth Prime or Earth One is what they're calling it here. Because that would make him the fastest guy in the all of the multiverse if he kills all the rest of them and then he takes out the Flash here. Which, that, like I said, that's a super villain plot. That's the way they
you know
work.
What happens? Like, if he becomes the fastest guy, then what? Like, it's kind of like...
He wins.
Yeah. What?
But hey, we've never said super villains were super, super smart. They just...
Exactly.
They have where they're going to go, and that's it.
Their plan is always to do this big, big thing, and if they ever accomplished it... It would be like, and then what?
But through the race, they actually Barry beats him, and all that's just that's fun stuff. But once again, at the end of the episode, is all the really good stuff.
Of course,
we finally find out who's the man in the Iron Mask, and this was another. The only way I can say it is it's a geekgasm moment for anybody who's been watching this show since the beginning, because when they first announced John Wesley Shipp was going to be on this show, me and the whole internet was yelling and screaming for him to be Jay Garrick. The ultimate nod to the original Flash is to make him the original Flash.
Yeah.
And then you find out that Jay Garrick, the Man in the Iron Mask is Jay Garrick, but right. It's the Earth Jay Garrick from Earth 3. Which also shows that National City's not Earth 3, it's one of the other ones. So as of right now, we have four Earths at least.
Yep.
But and you find out John Wesley Shipp is Jay Garrick. But and then that also explains a few weeks ago when Henry Allen talks about how Garrick was his mother's maiden name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that now makes sense why Jay Garrick would be the same person with a different name. So I thought that was awesome. The
and to also point out, they didn't just make this a one-time thing. John Wesley Shipp has confirmed that he is going to be on Legends of Tomorrow in Justice Society as Garrick.
Yeah, that was my next one there. That it's I think is the biggest thing that's awesome because of the way Legends ended with Our Man showing up and mentioning Justice Society. That opens up for Jay Garrick and the Hawks. Well, Constantine was never part of the Society.
Yep.
But bring the Hawks in because Hawkman was part of the Justice Society. We've already seen the original Red Tornado's helmet sitting in on the shelf in Rip's room.
Mm-mm.
Which was basically just a pot with slits cut in it for eyes. But it's like they've had all these Justice Society nods. It's going to be awesome to see that in this.
Yep.
But so that we know Jay Garrick's coming, and I love that suit. The really bright primary colors. This was, you could tell it was an older style suit.
I love the fact, though, that he said the helmet wasn't his idea.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll wear it anyway.
Yeah, that's the one thing that was a little weird with this one was because, Jay Garrick, that was always part of him, was the helmet. And this one, he's almost giving tribute to the guy who trapped him by wearing the helmet. It's a little odd, but it gave him the helmet. So that's all that mattered to me.
That's because the helmet originally was for peace and good, so he took it back.
Yeah. But, it was the peacekeepers that had done it. Huh?
It's like taking the Care Bears back.
I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole.
They're Ewoks on meth. But you took them back. I made them actual Care Bears again.
Okay. But we move on to when he gets back to our universe, he actually, once again, just like the season finale of the first season, Barry goes back in time to when his mother died. And this time, he's finally decided, you know what? I'm going to save her. Screw the timeline. Let's just do it. Which obviously is going to set off huge paradoxes from then on, because everything they've done in the last two seasons, everything that happened in the 25 years since she died or whatever, all changes now.
Well, yeah, because as soon as he does it, his alternate self that had been there watching from last season disappeared.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is one, like I said, this is one that we know he's going to have to go back and change again and stop himself from saving his mother, which stopped when he went back and said, I'm going cross-eyed.
What if Earth 1 actually gets Killer Frost?
That could be.
And Vi becomes a bad guy too.
Yeah, we actually it changes Earth 1 to Earth 2, or so that the timeline develops similar to the way Earth 2 did.
Well, like they said in if it ends up going with Flashpoint, you've got villains who were good guys and good guys who were villains. I mean, Cold was like the hero.
Yeah, Citizen right. Cold.
So anything could happen.
Exactly. Well, in the comic books, Earth 2, if I remember right, is where the Justice Lords were from, where the Justice League were the villains. You had Ultraman and you had Owlman and all these other ones that were fascist rulers who ruled the world with an iron fist. Because if Superman decided to be a villain, like they've said in Suicide Squad and such, who's going to stop him?
Right.
And then that also, in that world, the villains become the heroes. Luthor is the leader of the basically what would be their Justice League, but it's Luthor and Black Manta and all these other guys that are the heroes. And Captain Cold and Heatwave.
So what'll be interesting is how they bring in other characters, because at this point they're keeping the actors separate in terms of movie versus television.
Yeah.
But if they go Flashpoint, there are so many big name characters that are in that. Do they try and do something with that, or do they just come out with like second tier characters instead to create the storylines?
Well, that's where this one actually gets a little interesting with the possibilities. That what's the chances now that Geoff Johns is in charge of, or is the co-head of DC Films, that they don't use this as a Flashpoint thing to actually say that the cinematic universe is part of the same multiverse now as Flash and Arrow?
Right.
So, and we've already seen that Jay Garrick was two different actors already on Flash itself.
Well, what if Oliver because Zoom never was got being off him? The island.
Yeah. What if we see an what maybe in this era, the new Flashpoint universe that Flash is going to create, at least for first couple episodes, now you get, just like in Flashpoint where Thomas Wayne becomes Batman because Bruce dies in the alley, what if we have Oliver stays stuck on the island, or he dies on the island and his father becomes Arrow? There's all kinds of fun we can do.
Well, it's going to be, depending on how much they embrace the multiverse and in the sense of, well, any story is possible, any and every story is possible, they do embrace that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Geoff Johns does, whether or not he's able to do that.
Right. You know, see, I mean? That's the thing. Like, you know, okay, like one of Don's coworkers likes Arrow. No, he likes Flash. I think it was Flash. But he doesn't watch the other shows.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any interest in the other shows. And he's okay as long as they keep the time travel stuff to a minimum. And so if they fully embrace the whole time travel, multiverse, world jumping story, and that's completely possible. The thing is, how many fans of the shows are out there that watch only one or two of the shows? And so now you have four shows, and the reality that you know as Flash is its own reality, because there are all these other realities too. So that's enough to make people shut down and turn off. I just hope it doesn't become too big for some people that it becomes intimidating. You know what I mean?
What if Laurel was the one on the boat originally with Ollie?
She wasn't. She was left back on.
Yeah, but no. What if in this timeline?
Timeline that has been picked up and thrown away. Past couple years no longer exists.
What's the chances of something like that? So that
Laurel went through everything that Sarah did. Sarah stayed home.
Well,
Laurel
then
went and joined. You know, everything else.
Imagine that. She's saying, "What if you saw a Black Canary, Laurel Lance, Black Canary, who actually had gone through the League of Assassins and stuff?" And done all the stuff that Sarah has happened to her in that 5 years.
Well, I'll put it like this: we have to travel about 20 years for it. Mm-hmm. But when people, I think you'll get the same reaction that you got when people went a whole season because they thought Bobby Ewing was dead, and then the first episode of the next season starts up, and he's in the shower. And the whole previous season was a dream. I'm just saying that is enough to. I know
That was even what my coworker said. He said, "Do you mean the last season? I didn't even need to watch."
Exactly. You know,
I don't think they're going to wipe it out that much
for some people to be like, you know what, I'm done with this show.
But even with the Laurel twist, is just a slight offshoot.
Yeah, it's little details like that. But I don't like I said, I don't think the changes he's done now are going to have long-reaching effects. I mean, they are, but it's not going to be world-changing. Like, we're going to get Flashpoint, and now the world's changed forever. They're going to have to bring it back because of things like Arrow. We already know they're continuing on the status quo, or not status quo, but with their storyline without this being a major effect. Legends, it doesn't sound like they're making any major changes because of this. Supergirl's going to have
Legends. With Legends going back and forth in timelines and stuff, they don't have to worry about any of it.
Yeah.
Right.
They're working outside of time usually anyway.
Exactly.
But it looks like hopefully for next season they're going to work outside of the multiverse too, possibly. Being able to jump worlds, especially if they're bringing in the Justice Society.
Right.
Yeah.
It depends on which incarnation they do, because originally the Justice Society was a World War II organization. And if you watched or if you read comics in the 80s and 90s, the Society was there, but they were really old because they were the World War II heroes.
Right.
In the newer versions, the Justice Society is from another Earth where they were the heroes of World War II, but their timeline was even with ours, where World War II is happening at now instead of back in the 30s and 40s. So that's why when the Justice Society characters come over on the current, like, New 52 Earth, they're not super old. They're actually only a little bit older than the heroes we have now.
Right.
So, I mean, it just depends on where you're at in the DC timeline. But, no, I think there's a lot of questions that are going to be answered at least on the second week of October, because usually the CW answers all of their or premieres all their shows the week after New York Comic Con, which is usually the 1st of October, isn't it?
Yeah, it's usually right at the beginning.
So, and the only other one we don't know, we already know Supergirl is going to have some major changes because of the change in the network, change in the budget, and things like that. This could be what they use to explain those changes, though.
They're going to put her, they could put her on Earth 1 now.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people are hoping, that she gets put. And that's the other one Stephen Amell was saying, that if they do move Supergirl and National City into the main Flash Arrow universe, according to him, you could almost explain that away with one or two lines of dialogue, and it all of a sudden she's in the universe.
Right.
So, yeah. And or you could explain that away real easy with a Flashpoint occurrence.
Yeah. I have to be honest, though, I'm probably just going to be watching the three shows, because I'll watch the first episode of Supergirl to see who is in the pod, and that'll be it.
Yeah, and actually I saw that this week too, that Melissa Benoist said she doesn't even know who's in that pod right now. They've not told her.
It's
even.
It's just like the grape. Nobody knows until the end.
Yeah.
They pick a name out of a hat.
Well, she claims that nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, when they filmed the grave scene for Arrow, the writers weren't sure who they were going to put in it.
I mean, that's what they've said. But, I mean, like, we know with a lot of shows, like, even, what was it, Game of Thrones, last season ended with one of the characters getting stabbed, and he looked like he was flat-out dead. The producers told him he wasn't, but he had to tell everyone he was dead for the entirety of the break.
That was also
even the fellow actors, no one else knew.
But that was also so she didn't shave his facial hair, take his hair off.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, the writers and stuff, they know what they already know.
Well, television people have been lying to fans for eons since the creation of television. So, but we're going really long this week, guys. We're going to have to get ready to wrap this up.
We're giving Ken work to do. We're going to make him edit this down.
Well, I'll do some work, but I can't do a whole lot.
He still has Tales from the Darkness to edit.
Yeah, I still have to edit the podcast that's coming up, Geeksters. You'll find out about that one later.
Sounds like Vicky needs to learn how to do her editing.
Yeah, we're working on that also.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about.
So I got to teach her how to do it while I'm doing it. So
hey, I learned to record within like 5 minutes and then start doing it.
Yeah, she actually recorded. They did sit down. She and Bart did sit down and recorded their first episode. It's ready to go. We just got to put the polish on it and get it up there. So that's coming soon.
You have to show me how to compress the music, right?
Uh huh. So we'll have that up and running soon. Anything else you guys wanted to? Or actually, before we do this, who do you, out of the four major shows we covered here? Actually, let's go ahead and throw in Legends and Supergirl. Between Supernatural, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Legends, Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow, what was your favorite season? I mean,
honestly,
there's a lot of
Agents.
Other geek shows, but what was that?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What'd you have, Dawn?
For me, it's a toss-up between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay. Vicky, what was your favorite out of those?
They're about equal.
Yeah?
I don't really have much of a favorite.
Okay.
Mine...
Yeah. Your shows what?
My shows don't tend to fall in line of geekdom.
Yeah. But mine, no surprise, mine's probably Flash.
But that's no surprise at all.
That is the one true, or it's either Flash or Supergirl. Supergirl's just a real close behind, but those are the two that are true superhero shows.
The two shiny, happy shows are the ones that Ken likes best. Big surprise.
So, but Geeksters, that's going to probably wrap us up for today. Did you have anything else you two guys want to cover for this week?
How about this? No, I'm going to say Deadbeat's my favorite this year.
Deadbeat? You guys got to check out that show. We'll talk about that later.
Hey, when you're got food poisoning and you puke on a baby, that's all you need.
Wow. It's a Hulu show about a guy who actually can see ghosts and talk to them.
Hey, there is something I want to say.
What you got?
This is a bit of news that came out a couple days ago. Rest in peace, Muhammad Ali, greatest. You're the one man that beat Superman. You're the man that got me to sit in front of the TV on Saturday afternoon, whether it was my dad or my grandmother, and learn to appreciate the fine art of trash talking. And so, Muhammad Ali, you're the greatest. You always will be.
Yeah, I want to second that. Champ, you had a great fight, but it's time to move on to that giant ring in the sky, basically.
Maybe he and Bruce Lee are actually finally facing off.
Yeah, you know they are.
He'd be playing with Prince.
Yeah, and Prince is playing them to the ring. So, Geeksters, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Remember, you can always find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Stop over, leave a rating and review. We're right at GeekWatch 1 on either one. We want to see those ratings and see what you guys think about us. So give us a review. Let everybody else in the world know what you like about the show, what you don't. If you want to talk to us directly, you can always go to www.geekwatch1.com or go to the geekwatch1@gmail.com and drop us an email. You can also get a hold of us on our social media. We are on every bit of social media as GeekWatch 1. You can also find us. You can find us on the Tangentbound Network and the actual home of GeekWatch 1 at the Tangentbound or WeBeGeeksPC.com. So, for Kylan and for Miss Dawn and for Vicky and for myself, just remember:
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.